Ladies and gentlemen of the TMS audience, today's episode is brought to you by Squarespace.com. At Squarespace.com, the future of web creation is now. It is here, and it is there for you to use. Go check them out with a free trial, and if you decide to stay, use the code MORNING at checkout for 10% off your order. That's at Squarespace.com. Go. Coming up on TMS, Fury Road rules.
Futurama week begins.
How did Pitch Perfect 2 do?
Lynch is back in.
Gilligan finally spills the Huel beans.
Daniel Craig is in Star Wars?
I had no idea. Major spoilers.
V for video games.
Your emails and more on this episode of the Morning Stream.
For us, now there is a personal car that has exactly what we're looking for. Taurus. Now there's an American car with the shape and the feel we've never seen before.
For all of us who demand excellence in design and function, for all of us who will not compromise, Ford listened. Ford created Taurus for us.
For us!
Huh? It could happen.
This is the Morning Stream. We're doing it for Kowalski.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. We are indeed doing it for Kowalski. Thank you, Scott Fletcher.
Do it for Kowalski.
He's in every movie ever made.
He would do it for you.
If your movie has guys with guns in it or some kind of army-like behavior, there's a guy named Kowalski in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's probably going to die.
Yep. Oh, yeah. No. Let's be clear here. Kowalski does not go on.
There's never going to be a Kowalski in the sequel.
Uh-uh. Yeah, he's out. Kowalski is the least important person in your movie, but somehow important nonetheless. Hi, everyone. It's TMS. It's Scott. It's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott.
Monday, what is it, the 18th? Jeez Louises. That's crazy.
Right. This month is flying by.
I don't know if I'm ready for how fast life is moving right now because there's so much I have to do. I have so much to do and it just goes like a bunch of war boys in the desert, which we'll get to in a minute.
Yeah. My to-do list for today is that long.
Oh my.
My screen and then I, you know, hold my fingers up. It's like that long.
How many lines of text does that involve? I assume it's like 10 point text.
It is. Well, I mean, there are 10 items on my to-do list to get done today.
All right. Let's take a look and do a little comparison.
I'll probably get 8 of them done.
Well, it's not that I like to compare, Brian, but I'm going to show you my list. All right.
Okay, fine.
Mine is.
Is yours longer, Scott? Is that what you're trying to say?
Mine is that big, chat room.
I don't have video up. I'm not looking at your video.
I'm at 6 inches. and that includes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 must-dos today and 3 maybe could-dos today.
All right.
So that's pretty good.
Well, you know, it's not about the quantity of to-do list items. It's about the quality of the to-do list items.
You had me at quantity. All right. That's one more than Total Recall. All right. Yes. So we're going to do a show and we're going to have some fun, I think. I think today is a good day. I feel pretty good about today's opportunities. Yeah.
Do you think you're predicting good things?
I'm going to take a very relaxed approach to today's show. I have to admit, when I do the morning show every day, I tend to be a little bit on high alert. I want to have a good time. I want to really push it home. I want people to have an entertaining, informative, fun experience when they leave the show, either live or later. And sometimes I put myself through the ringer a little bit. And today I've decided I'm not going to do that as much. Today, I'm just going to ease into it, Brian. Like a well-oiled baby seal thrust from its mother's womb.
Shoom, right down the chute, basically.
Right. Just shoom is exactly the word. So as we shoom forward, we now have to talk about maybe one of the most chaotic pieces of wonderment I've ever witnessed in my life. And you went last night, so I've yet to hear.
I did. Your text to me about how much you enjoyed this movie was enough for me to say, you know what? I'm going to miss some of Raid. I'm going to miss almost all of Raid.
Yeah.
And I'm going to you know, zip out right at the end of Film Sack and make us all rush through our funny on that show.
Right.
So that I can go see this movie. I don't think we didn't rush. No, it didn't feel rushed.
You couldn't even tell. It was totally fine. In fact, I think we still went like a good hour and 20 minutes or something. So
I think it was even longer than that.
It might have been. Like, yeah. We sometimes go long.
Well, you know what? Just one last thing about Film Sack yesterday.
Yeah.
I was not expecting there to be as much for us to talk about with that movie as it turned out there was.
Often is that's the case, isn't it?
It really is, yeah.
Somehow we think that we're going to say less, but we end up saying more, which is always very weird to me.
That's right. It's a good thing.
Yeah, it is a good thing. I'm very pleased. Okay. But anyway, so this, so we're talking about Fury Road, the Mad Max movie, which show marks the return of the venerable director George Miller to his roots. His roots being this post-apocalyptic hellscape that was Mad Max, then Road Warrior, then Beyond Thunderdome.
George Miller doing what George Miller does best.
I agree, although some would argue that what he did since then was also very good. He made Babe. He made Babe Pig in the City. He made Happy Feet. He made Happy Feet 2.
Oh, really? Yeah. I did not realize George Miller was responsible for Happy Feet.
It is a very strange thing to know that, right? It's a very shocking fact. And it's not, and it's things you had passion for. People think highly of those projects. I especially am a big fan of the Babe movies. Those kind of bowled me over when I saw them. I went, wait a minute, this kid, what should be just kid tripey garbage, is kind of really intelligent and smart and well done and extremely, you know, interesting. And then when I found out, wait, this is the Road Warrior guy? You got to be freaking kidding me. And like, wow. I remember being shocked at the time.
That is crazy.
And as we all said in unison, that'll do, pig, that'll do. We didn't know that George Miller maybe one day would return to his action chaos, disgusting, dirty roots, and make something great again.
In a big way too.
Well, here's my assessment, and then I want you to tell me if you're even in the ballpark of my agreement.
Okay.
And I have a feeling you might be, but anyway, because we haven't talked, last night you gave me a hint that you enjoyed it, and that was it.
That's all I told you. I liked it.
Yeah,
and I said, you know, if I was in the middle of the Mad Men series finale, I would tell you more.
Okay, good. And that's good because I actually prefer this because it's a bit of a surprise, or maybe it won't be. But but here's the deal. We went to that thing, myself, Kim, her sister and her husband, and then our her brother and his wife all went, six of us.
Okay.
And we went kind of late on Saturday because I had my show, and then that ended, and then we went to like 8:30. It was 8:45 or something when the movie started, and it ended, you know. We got home about 12:45 or something. Usually I don't like nighttime movies like that. I'm just dead tired, especially after 3 hours of NVIDIA streams. I just pooped. But it didn't matter here because, as it turns out, you can actually transfer quantities of adrenaline from a screen to your bloodstream when it comes to a film like this.
Get osmosis, right, is what you're saying?
Yeah. So I'm here to tell you people, and I promise you this is not laced with hyperbole. I actually mean this. I don't think I've seen a cooler, more inventive, more energetic, and more nakedly original film in maybe 10 years. It's maybe been a decade that I have been this blown away. And I couldn't tell you the next movie up to that. I might say, oh, yeah, the Avengers 1 surprised me how well they pulled it off. Or, oh, sure, there's nothing else. What else do I have to even say? There's no other movie that I can even compare this to. And it is top to bottom, maybe one of my favorite. It's in my top five films of all time, period. It just squeaked right in there and said, look at me. And it blew my mind. And when I saw the reviews on Rotten Tomatoes at like 98%, I thought, there's no way this lives up to the hype I have for this thing. There's no way I'm going to go in there and think it's as great as I'm going to be. And they ended up showing me things I've never seen before. They gave me visuals that were both practical and non-CGI, but mind-blowing in ways I never expected to be mind-blown. My mind has never been blown quite like that. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect the ability for a movie to tell me its story and to build its world, which we were already kind of familiar with in the old movies, but to build that story without much exposition at all. They didn't have to explain anything to me. I just filled in the gaps, right?
You get a little tiny bit about Mad Max's history, which, and then you get it kind of sprinkled throughout the film, which I really like. And I really like the way that, again, no spoilers, but I like the way it's paid off.
Yeah, big time. That's a great payoff. And there's emotional resonance to it without jamming it down my throat. There are there are scenes when they fight in the desert that are so creative that I bet you Rube Goldberg himself rolled out of his grave and said, how the hell did you do that?
Some incredible. I mean, that is what you go to. One of the things you go to a road warrior movie for, a Mad Max movie for, sure, is the inevitable chase.
Yeah.
There's going to be a chase. It's going to be in cars, but it's going to be cars that are tricked out, that are MacGyvered in a way that you would never think of.
Yeah.
Like these guys look at, and you know, they're in a world where they kind of have to, right? Where they look over and see, oh, that toilet seat is perfectly intact. I'm going to attach it to a propeller blade and, you know, swing it around as a giant club or something like that, attached to my fender.
Right.
Don't worry, people. That's not a spoiler. That's not something you
it's
see.
Not,
in the film,
it's but, not at all, but you get the point.
But you get the point. Yeah. I mean, you see it in the previews. The guys on stilts, or the guys on the
big swinging sticks. They had names.
The swinging sticks.
What were they called? That's the other thing I really like about it, is they all have they're like classes in a video game, is what they remind me of.
They really are. Yeah, right. Yeah. You've got tanks. Mm-hmm. You've got.
They really are, and they gave them names like that. Like, yeah, these guys are the somethings, and these guys are the whatevers, and then also the different clans that are kind of scattered throughout the desert that do different things, like the Volkswagen spiky dudes, just amazing.
Yes.
The motorcycle guys. Oh my gosh.
All the different factions.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And they're like so themed. They're themed factions, but they're also themes that you've never seen before.
Right.
You know? Like, one guy makes all the bullets.
Yeah,
oh,
the bullet
gosh,
farmer.
Gosh, dang it, dude. I want to go back right now and watch it again. It is so... That's what I mean, though. That world is so thick and rich with story and texture, but you're not have to have any of it told to you. You're just seeing it, soaking it in, filling in the gaps. There is some, like... There is there's no spoilers here, all right? We're not spoiling anything. This is all stuff you can get a feel for in the trailers, but there's a religious element to it that I didn't expect or see coming that talks about, you know, that basically speaks to fanaticism and this idea that your ultimate reward comes right after your heroic death. And that whole chrome thing and the silver spray paint.
Yeah, witness me!
They make these brilliant, like, nods to things that make sense in our modern world that are also kind of chaos in our own world, but they do it in ways that are so creative and so, like, fun. Like, right. That's such a fun thing. And Nicholas Hoult, I bow to his ability to be the craziest the freak show in the world. He was great. I loved his whole arc. Everything about him, freaking loved it.
Right.
I love the bad guy. I love the bad guys.
Oh, by the way, happy birthday to the bad guy. Hugh Keyes Byrne.
68
years old today.
68? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
He's 68. And that guy was in the first Mad Max, for those who are wondering. You can go find pictures of him. He's yelling at Mel Gibson at one point.
And he makes me want to really trick out my CPAP mask.
That's basically what
Tina
it was.
The most horrible nightmares.
He's a great villain. You don't even need to know that much about him because, again, it comes through. It just comes through as you go. And
right. Well, and you've hit on exactly the thing that I like the most about this. It doesn't feel like, you know, a couple main characters that have some depth and some story to them. They could take 90% of the characters you're introduced to in this thing and do a separate 1-hour vignette story on. For like their background and who they are, the dude with the high beam flashlight.
Oh right,
who just shoots like crazy at everything. You know,
great.
I want to know what that guy's story is.
Yeah,
I want to know the story behind
the metal guy, the bard, the heavy metal guitar dude.
Right. Yes.
So brilliant.
The whole vehicle whose purpose is to just play heavy metal
with this guy hanging on like bungee straps with his deformed head and face. Ripping out the metal while that giant convoy of the worst, scariest damn convoy. It is so something to behold.
Yeah.
Like it's what I said on Ray last night while I was there. I had to leave, but I called it beautiful chaos because it's just beautiful. Like everything that if they don't win cinematography awards or whatever the hell they can get, then he needs best director is what he needs. Number one, if he doesn't get that, then we are doing it wrong and the Academy can suck my left toe because forget it.
Right.
But he does this thing with the cinematography and just kind of the scope of the thing that makes you stop and go, my gosh, this is beautiful, but it's horrible, mm-hmm. but beautiful, like just gorgeously right. shot. And everybody, like the night and morning shots, tell me if this rings a bell, but the way their eyes looked in the like dawn or in the twilight of a day was something weird and ethereal, but also just something real about it. I'm not even like an expert on how people film shit. I was just blown away by that stuff. And the fact mm-hmm. that he insisted on practical effects for the most part, other mm-hmm. than that big sandstorm, really. But the stunts they pulled off, these have to be some of the most amazingly shot stunts in the history right. of cinema, period.
These are vehicles that actually have to be able to run. Like, you can trick these things out, and if you're doing a CGI movie, you can make these things look like whatever you want them to look like.
Right.
But for these things actually to run, and run seemingly fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the main bad guys in this vehicle that looks like four or three vehicles all stacked on top of each other on the back with the fins.
And with the tank treads on the bottom, that one?
Yeah. Is that the one?
That's the bullet farmer one, right? Am I thinking of the wrong one?
I think you're thinking the wrong one. The main bad guy.
Oh, right. He had
Immortan, dude.
Immortan Joe, dude.
Immortan Joe with the Cadillac DeVilles. There it is. Cadillac DeVilles all stacked on the back, like... Not just one set of fins, but four fins.
And everyone's got the greatest names, and it's just so creative. I realize as a kid, as much as Star Wars and, you know, was important to me and was so inspirational for me as a kid, I think Road Warrior was a bigger deal than I remember. Because seeing this just brought all of that flooding back. It also reinforced my love of giant, open, desolate deserts. You know I love mm-hmm. those.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I can see why it fires on all your cylinders, right? You've got post-apocalyptic.
Yep, love it.
You've got something of a Western. Like, if you replaced the characters with their Western counterparts, you'd have the land baron with his concubines, his prostitute house, basically.
Yep, running the town and is in charge of everything and is a total tyrant, sure.
The quiet stranger who shows up in town.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all, you know, it is all of those Western stereo or archetypes
totally.
That I think fit really well with this. And
oh my gosh.
The visual stuff, and then you know that, and that's probably what I like the most, is that no one else can do action that style of action visuals that Roger Miller can do, where it feels like it's
George Miller.
I'm sorry, George Miller. This is Roger Miller.
Yeah.
He's king of the road, man. where basically it feels like half the frames have been pulled out of the. Frames per second or something that makes it look like it's sped up, but not quite sped up.
Mm-hmm. Especially that beginning scene when he's trying to escape.
God, that whole escape thing.
That's the other thing is that you see, as soon as you tune in to this, mm-hmm. you are treated to what seems like most movies, they spent their entire wad on this one scene.
Right.
Oh my gosh, how are you going to top that? Well, I guess the rest of the movie is going to kind of suck because you never get as good as that scene again, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's usually what you think. And as that one ended, I went, well, I guess they blew all their stunt money on that thing early. I'll settle in for whatever's normal. No. Like, they just keep going and it never gets dull and it always is more creative as they keep moving forward. And I would actually say, if you're looking, let's say you've got a 13-year-old son or something, you're thinking, do I want to take him to this or not? Take him, because this is no more rated R than Lord of the Rings should have been in terms of actual violence. It's what you're actually seeing, though, and there's no sex, but what you're actually seeing is so visceral and so overwhelming to your senses. I think that's what makes the MPAA go, oh, we don't know what to do. We better give it rated R because we don't know what to do with it. Because that's how I felt coming out of it. It's like the Matrix. The first Matrix shouldn't have been R. Neither should this have been. Mm-hmm. But regardless, forget about all that. It is so important, I think, as a movie moving forward when it comes to genre filmmaking. And I don't think that we can expect anybody to top this very soon. I know he's got sequels planned. That's very exciting to me. But I think this is going to be very hard for anybody to top. And if anyone can do it, maybe George can. But this is a guy who spent a ton of his career in the middle bit. You know, his sandwich is Mad Max bread, kid movies middle, and then Mad Max bread at the end. And the guy is 70 years old, for heaven's sakes.
It's insane.
If he can do this at 70, we can all do anything we want to in this life. I kept having that feeling as I walked out of there. And it's the opposite of George Lucas. It's like George Lucas returned to his venerable series 30 years later and made three poops. George Miller did the same thing. 35 years later, made, I think, a masterpiece in this in this way. Like, the, this isn't the King's Speech or, you know, some super serious movie. And look, if you're going to this movie hoping for the typical Hollywood three-act play where it's exposition and character development, and then we move on to the blah, 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 and there's a climactic scene at the end, and everyone goes home happy, don't see this movie.
Yeah,
because you're probably not going to know what the hell to do with it.
It totally doesn't fit. Yeah, that's true. It really doesn't fit any sort of template.
Right. If it's, you know, his template,
except its own. Except the Road Warrior template. You know, there is going to be a massive car chase thing at the end.
Yep.
And
oh my gosh,
dude. It's just brilliant.
Freaking
Now,
it. Yeah.
In high contrast, and I agree with everything you say. I think while I enjoyed it a lot, I love the film, I don't think it ranks as high for me as it does for you, but that's not to say that it doesn't rank very high for me.
Sure. No, I totally understand.
However, on
my sister-in-law hated it.
Other the complete other end of the swinging guy in a stick pendulum.
Yeah.
Tina did not enjoy it.
Oh, I'm sure she didn't. Like
Tina, Tina actually said, "If you weren't with me, Brian, I would have walked out."
Really? Yes. Oh, that's hilarious. So
she really did not enjoy it. And it's funny because I would have thought, you know, that there was enough, like she's, you know, she's not big on car porn. She's not big on violence. And this is hardly what I would call a transporter level violent movie. It is a creative violent movie. Does
very,
that make
very
sense?
Much so. Yeah. It's like a comic book on fire.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. But but she didn't. She didn't get a kick out of it at all.
Okay, well, she's probably like my sister-in-law. Maybe both my sister-in-laws. I didn't get to ask Sarah, but I got the feeling that both of them were like, "What did we just? What was this?" They would have much rather been in Pitch Perfect too. And so I'm fully aware and willing to admit that this is definitely not for everyone's sensibilities. There's no way, but it happens to land on mine with such seismic effect that it quite literally just blew my mind. I loved it, and I cannot wait to see it again and again and again. And I love Tom Hardy, and I think Charlize Theron was amazing in it.
Yeah. Oh, they're both great. And he utters maybe like 12 lines in the movie.
Yeah.
He's fantastic.
It's great. In fact, I like, we were talking about this before Raid last night. I like this idea that he is a bit like Mad Max was in the old ones, which is he doesn't really want to be here. He's just trying to deal with his crap and get the hell out of there and get his car and his dog and... Doesn't have a dog in this one, but spoiler.
Yeah, no kidding. It just dawned on me.
Dog. Probably got eaten or something. But the idea that he's just an unwilling participant that eventually kind of has to feel like he needs to do something good is great. And I think Tom Hardy's great, and I will watch him in anything ever for always. And I love this movie.
One last thing I want to say about this.
Yeah.
There are a set of characters in here that of all the characters, the ones I want to know the most about are the dudes in the swampland on the stilts walking around on
Oh my gosh. See, they had this way of doing that though, didn't it? Yeah. The movie would show you a thing, not talk about it at all, but you went, "Oh, no. I want to know why that's happening. What is that all about over there?" And it was so creepy and cool. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
All that stuff. What was the other one? You said that one and something else.
Oh, no, that was it.
Okay.
Yeah. And by the way, I was going to scroll back and see who sent this to me, and I can't find it. But, there it is. TV's Egon sent a great link from Bloomberg, of all places. Every killer car in Mad Max Fury Road explained.
Oh, no
so
way, dude.
They have pictures of all the cars. I'll put a link in Skype for you.
I can't wait for that. That's great.
Yeah, you can read through that and get kind of a longer look at each of the vehicles and say, wow, okay, that's the deal with that.
Oh, my gosh. All right. I'm all in. I want more. I want to read all about it. I want to buy books about it. I want to buy it on Blu-ray the second it's available. I want to go pirate it. I want it so bad. And I want to see it again. I think we may go. We may, if we can swing it. I don't know if we're going to be able to, but we're going to try to take Nick tonight because I think Nick's going
to
love it.
I would love to take Tristan to this because I think he would enjoy it. And it's funny because there was a deal last week or 2 weeks ago on the original Road Warrior.
Yeah.
Not Mad Max, but Road Warrior for $6, Blu-ray $6 on Amazon.
Oh, that's a no-brainer.
And I snatched that up because that's a no-brainer.
No-brainer.
And he hasn't seen that one either, and I think seeing that one and then seeing the new one together, I think is a good
That would be pretty fun. I mean, that's the thing with that movie. they did blow their budget on stunts and stuff in like one giant great scene.
Yeah, for sure.
This movie had like 12 of those. And they were all exciting. Like the motorcycles, dude. And the grenades.
The motorcycles, the
Oh my gosh.
The
ninjas on sticks and sunroofs and what that means. Just amazing.
Incredible
and the two sticks with the bombs attached to them, a guy with the
spear, the exploding spear things. Yeah.
So great. And how a steering wheel is like a hallowed relic,
that's the thing that you go to this big, well, all right, again, no spoilers.
Yeah,
no
go
spoilers.
See it. Just freaking go see it, you guys. It's so freaking great. All right. Head Wound Harry. Brian, you got a big old mash on your head. I saw a photo of this. Explain this real quick.
Looking like Gorbachev here with this big red mark on my head.
Yeah.
So we've got family coming in, and this is the week that the neighborhood, or not the neighborhood, but like the Arvada, I guess, garbage group, district, whatever.
Yeah.
Comes and picks up large items. So if you have a water heater that you've got to get rid of.
Yeah.
This is the weekend or the week to put it out.
Yeah.
And so Tina said, well, now's a good time for us to get rid of these two toilets, you know, in our main bathroom and our spare bathroom and, or guest bathroom. And, we'll get rid of them. They're leaking a little bit inside. They're, old. They came with the house. So they're 15 years old or more than that.
Yeah.
So we took them out. I was Joe Plumber, Joe Blue Collar this last weekend.
Mm.
And I removed the old toilets and installed new toilets. In the process of installing the last one, I got up too quickly and hit my head on the shelf that goes above the toilet in the master bathroom. And you can tell from that wound. I mean, this thing, it didn't knock me unconscious, but it made me stagger a little bit for a few minutes.
I've done that before. And how loud was the F-bomb that left your throat when that happened?
It was pretty loud. Yeah. It might've even been coupled with a for and sake at the end.
Oh man. Amazing.
For at the beginning, sake at the end.
Amazing.
But, painful as hell. But hey, you know what? I win. The two toilets are installed. They're working great. They look fantastic. And there you go. I was Plumber Joe for the weekend.
Well, I like it. The photo is great. If you guys want to see it, it reminds me of my dad. My dad had no hair and he would always bang his head on something. So every time we'd see him, he'd be like, oh, dad, you got a new, we'd call it a mash. You got a new mash on your head. We'd be like, ah, damn it.
That's the thing with bald guys, man. No protection. No,
yeah. There's no
way. And even if you get hit, if you're not a bald guy, at least your hair covers up the wounds. With a bald guy, it's right out there. It is.
Nothing you can do about it.
Look like one of those, a cue ball, how they get the red dot on the cue ball that you use to line things up.
Yeah. You're the Fats Domino of toilet repairman. All right. It's time for this guy right here. All right, I'm stopping it there because it's not that this week. Let me play something new for you because this is a big deal. Hold on a second. I meant to have this queued up and I totally forgot we were doing it. Here you go. This is what we're doing now. Right here. Here you go. Oh, yeah. It is the Stump a Futurama Nerds today, this whole week. Brand new theme this week, and it's brought to you by...
Oh, it's brought to you by the Figures Sold Separately podcast. Join Matt, Ken, Renee, and James each week as they discuss the latest in nerd and geek. In our latest episode, we talk with WWE Hall of Famer Adam Edge Copeland live in studio about his career in wrestling and his starring role on Sci-Fi's Haven. Check it out on iTunes, your favorite podcasting app, or at fsspodcast.com.
Oh, yeah. Listen to this. Makes me want to just watch the show. Daryl is here, and we're doing Stump of Futurama Nerds, plural. That means Daryl's asking us questions. Daryl, how you feel about today's opportunity?
I feel great because I don't have to answer any questions.
Hey, right? I got some good news for you, dude. There was lots of action cam in this movie, but no no handheld shaky cam. None. Zero in a Mad Max movie. I think that says something, you know?
It's just stir the pot.
I think what George, because here's where you and I will agree, Daryl. Sometimes shaky cam is used to just create the sense of action where there is none, right? Or to cover up, you know, choreography and make it seem more hard hitting or something. I agree with you on that. George Miller is such a master of the craft. He didn't need any of that. He showed he would have a cam steady as hell to make sure he caught all of the rad things he was making happen. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
All right. And if you're in an office, what do you need that for?
Yeah, you don't need it.
But one thing here, I have to.
Oh, I see.
There's a breaking news thing. First official images from the Warcraft movie.
Oh, yeah, we saw this. Yeah.
You have? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I think we saw. We saw a lot of this in Anaheim back in November. So we're kind of cheating a little bit. But that Orgrim photo or that Orgrim shot might be actually new, but it's actually it's based on some stuff that we saw there. But it's beautiful. It's looking great. Can't wait. We've seen a lot of that in motion, Brian and I, have we not? We saw some of that moving.
We did. Yeah, we actually saw, in addition to the trailer, we got to see like a, felt like a 3 or 4 minute scene. Well, maybe not. Maybe a couple minutes scene from the movie. And then like just a minute long close-up of the face of one of the characters.
Durotan,
mm-hmm. right. And just to see like the wrinkles and the breathing mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
And the
just
emotions like and all that. It was great.
Screen test, yeah.
Yeah, they seem
to be. Well, forget when I ever bring up any breaking news. You guys have seen.
Yeah, we're all over it.
Stick to the birthdays, Daryl. Stick to the birthdays.
All right. It's time, Daryl, to do Stump a Futurama Nerd. You're going to ask us a question. We are going to try to answer it. And I see no other reason than just to go ahead. So go ahead. Give it to us.
Okay. In the episode, Hell is Other Robots, Bender goes to Robot Hell, where he meets the Robot Devil. Fry and Leela try to save Bender's soul. The Robot Devil informs them that the Fairness in Hell Act will allow them to win back Bender's soul if they can beat him in a fiddle contest. Yeah. What year did the Fairness in Hell Act go into effect?
Oh my gosh. Is this what this feels like? This must be what this feels like.
This is what it's like.
Okay.
Yes.
Is it multiple choice?
Oh, yeah. I got to give you the things.
Huh? All right. God, it better be.
Okay.
I know.
A. Now write these down.
All right.
2265.
Hold on. Shit. 2265. Okay.
2270.
Okay.
2275.
Okay.
Or 2280.
All right, Brian, they're right there. 70,
75, or 80, basically.
I put them down right there below the thing.
Well,
not that it's going to help.
This is you know, purely throw a dart at the dartboard kind of thing. However,
welcome to my world.
Right. However, my rule of thumb is if I'm given a list of four numbers, years, and there's no if I don't have anything else to go on, like any sort of educated guess kind of thing to go on,
right?
I always pick the second highest. This is a trick I use in trivia crack too, people.
So okay, so in this case, 2275 is the second highest.
2275 would be the thing I would say.
I could also hear, "Good news, everyone! It was 22." I can almost hear someone say the number 2275 in my memory.
Sure.
I've seen that episode a ton of times, so there's probably some recollection happening, and I actually kind of think that rings possibly true.
That's even one I've seen a bunch of times because it was season one and. I totally remember that.
Tomorrow we'll do. By the way, Kim's informing that a package from Jay Hammond,
yes,
cheese bucket came in today.
Yeah.
Cheese bucket.
Oh, you don't want to do it today?
I don't have it here. Is the problem? Oh, it's okay. Upstairs, right. And she's gone. So I don't. Right. I could go get it, I suppose. But I think tomorrow will be our day for that.
She's gone. Yep. Oh, I better learn how to get my TMS food. Oh, I.
Is that that's Hall & Oates, isn't it?
It's not. Oh, I'm sorry. That is Hall & Oates. There's another one. Baby Come Back is always attributed to Hall & Oates, and that's Player.
Baby Come Back.
Yeah. Everybody always thinks that that's Hall & Oates because it has a very Hall & Oates feel to it.
I like
that. But She's Gone was, I want to say their second hit after Sarah Smile.
Oh, all right.
Really early on in the Hall & Oates pantheon.
The pantheon of Hall & Oates. Yes. All right. So, Daryl, we're going to say 2275 based on, I like Brian's method, A, and B, it sounds familiar. So I feel like we're pretty good there.
Okay. I will now play the correct or incorrect clip. Here we go.
Here goes. Now I'll click it. Hold on. Here goes.
There's nothing you can do. Now, if you'll just sign this fiddle contest waiver. Wait, what fiddle contest?
The Fairness in Hell Act of 2275
requires
me to inform you that if you can best me in a fiddle contest, you win Backbender's soul, as well as a solid gold fiddle.
Wouldn't a solid gold fiddle weigh hundreds of pounds and sound crummy?
Well, it's mostly for show.
I love that episode. All right, that's awesome. Brian.
Yeah.
Your thing is a great idea.
It's the technique, man.
I like
it. Use that in school, kids. Yeah. College students and high school students out there, that's...
I will eyeball Mike's document very closely to see if it changes in the next 24 hours, because...
Right. See if he, like, all of a sudden switches it up.
Yeah, I see how he is.
Screenshot that baby.
Yeah, for sure.
Congratulations, you're a winner.
So, good job to us. The nerds did it. We did it. Oh, congratulations, I guess, is in order. Hold on. How do you do that? Here you go.
Congratulations.
Yeah, see?
You're a winner.
That means it's time for us to say goodbye to Daryl. I like this. This is fun. In fact, it makes me think that we should do this on the regular, like really switch things up. Not necessarily us to him.
Like a question for him where it's like, you know, Futurama episode title or... flavor of Bisquick.
Even that, but more importantly, I'm saying we should just switch it up. Like this week we're being asked questions about Futurama. In a couple weeks we ask Daryl questions about some other thing that he's into. Or you know what I mean? Just changing it up a little bit. Get a little Doctor Who in here and have Corinne on sometime and then we'll all ask her. Those all kinds of things.
Here we go. Name of a Futurama episode or name of a porno movie.
Oh, perfect. I love it. I wish we actually had one of those, but...
The question is, Mobius Dick.
I'm going to say both. Daryl, do you have anything for us to play at the end here?
Well, I do have the regular stuff, if you want that.
Yeah, give me that. Oh, do you have it today?
That really was a question for him. But...
Oh, okay. Oh, for real? Oh, give it the answer. Yeah. Answer it for the hell of it. Go ahead.
I will say Futurama.
It is a Futurama episode. Season 6, episode 21.
Good job.
Aired August 4th, 2011.
Nailed it. Now do your other stuff. Now you have your other stuff to do. Do that. Hello?
You want to do these regular stuff?
Yeah,
sure.
I think Skype took a poo.
Okay.
Yeah, you're fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's pooping. Is it done?
It's done pooping.
It's done pooping.
Okay. Klingon word. Or actual meatball.
All right. Klingon word actual meatball. You said that in such a nonchalant way, like we should know that that's a normal question to ask. You go, is it a Klingon word or an actual meatball?
I just like the words actual meatball.
Yeah, it's pretty good. All
not
right.
A virtual meatball.
Throw it at meatball. Throw your meatball at us. Let's hear it.
Kibby.
Kibby?
Kibby.
Kibby meatball. Kibby as in...
Is a Klingon word? I can't imagine any Klingon word sounding as silly as kibby.
Kibby is without honor.
Akla goes out to the floor.
Kibby. It just doesn't fit.
Yeah, your kibby is without honor. I don't know how that sounds.
Yeah, let's say meatball.
Yeah,
can you buy that at IKEA?
Yeah.
By the way?
That sounds like an IKEA.
recalled IKEA meatball.
Actually, you might be onto something why he did this. Because he just got off those IKEA things, right? So he was thinking about it.
Exactly.
So we say kibby's real. Real meatball.
A real meatball. It is a Lebanese meatball with wheat, onions, and meat.
Yeah. Mm. See? The kibby.
The kibby.
Get the kibby today. All right. What are we doing now? This.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
We do have some news, and it's brought to you by...
Do you like low-budget zombie film fun?
Yes.
Do you like to see attractive women kicking the crap out of douchebag guys all while fighting off zombie hordes with the help of a crack secret agent?
Crack.
Is $12.99 worth an hour and 24 minutes of your life?
Totally.
If yes, then come check out the Come Get Some DVD at comegetsomethefilm.com.
Sounds all right. David Lynch is going to direct Twin Peaks after all. Remember he rage quitted or whatever happened there? There was some kind of disagreement and he said, I'm out. And, Maybe they suggested that people might watch Twin Peaks on their mobile device, and he freaked out and said, F you.
No, let me tell you about the weather in Portland.
Such a weirdo. He is back on. He says he's going to do it. He's back. Good. Originally, Lynch decided to leave the miniseries reboot because the network wasn't giving him enough money, but it appears those issues have been resolved. According to The Hollywood Reporter, after Lynch announced he was leaving the project last month, former cast members like Cheryl Lee, who played Laura Palmer slash Maddie Ferguson, Madchenemick, who played Shelley Johnson. How do you say that name?
Madchenemick. Yes.
Madchenemick.
Lovely woman, Madchenemick.
All right. And Kathleen Colson, the log lady, made a video attempting to describe how Twin Peaks would feel with no David Lynch. The answer is not good. Lynch and Mark Frost have written 9 episodes thus far. Showtime series will air or now run longer than those 9 episodes. So that must have been part of the deal. And he seemed all excited on Twitter. Like, I don't know if that's him actually tweeting. I think that may be his helpers or something, but he was pretty jovial about being back on. So
nice.
Look for that.
Cool. Matt Chinamick was even on Star Trek.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I not? I got to look her up now. Let me just take
you'll as soon as you see her face, you'll be like, oh, yeah, I totally remember her.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She served pie at the Double R Diner.
Right. She's been in a lot of stuff.
She has been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah. In fact, recently, what was the one I saw? Oh, Longmire. That's where I saw her. I love Longmire. Yeah. Love. I should say love because it's coming back to Netflix.
Nice.
Mad Men she was on. How was that?
Oh,
don't spoil it, but how was the finale?
It was good. It was
satisfactory.
It was, I wouldn't say it was wholly satisfying.
If it isn't him at 75 in an attic blowing dust out of a carousel Kodak wheel, then I'm not interested.
It's not that. That is not how it ends,
right.
And I won't say how it ends. But it was not unenjoyable. You know, on the grand scale of finales,
yeah.
I'd say it was closer to the Breaking Bad end of the spectrum than the. I'm trying to think of what a really bad season finale was, because I actually like the Lost season finale, so, and I know a lot of people don't. I don't know. I'd give it, I'd say 3.5 out of 5 stars.
Oh,
how's that?
Okay. That's all right, though. That's not
it's all right.
All
it's
bad.
All right. It's touching, and it's, you feel like the characters grow from it, but you don't get kind of the closure that I think a lot of fans want.
All right.
Personally, that I wanted either.
Hard to do. Turns out.
Oh, there we go. Seinfeld was see, there was some stuff I really liked about the Seinfeld finale.
People who don't like that finale, I recommend they watch it again. It's much better than you think. It's one of those things where I really do think the mentality of, you know, it's ending and you're trying to be funny at the same time is very hard for an audience to take in the moment. But when you go back and watch it later, that episode is absolutely just fine. It's a great episode of Seinfeld. It's just you have to get away from the ending, or you have to get away from the mentality of, oh no, my favorite show is going off the air. And once you do that, it's much easier it's much more palatable. And I would argue I saw the Lost finale more recently as well, and I feel the same way there. I really didn't like it when it was on, but I think that ending is actually pretty good. If you just get out of the shroud of, oh no, my show's ending, get out of that, and you have a much more objective way of watching it.
There we go. Dexter. Dexter is a great example. So if you draw a line between Dexter and Breaking Bad, and I'd say Breaking Bad is one of my favorite season finales of all time, then Mad Men was about 2/3 of the way up that ramp.
All right. Well, there you go then. Don Draper in an attic, old, blowing.
And happy birthday to Robert Morris, who played Cooper, Bert Cooper.
Oh, yeah. Of Anderson Cooper and Dingus, or what
that's
was
right,
it?
Anderson Cooper.
It's, was it just Anderson Cooper?
Draper Price.
Yeah, there you go. That's it. Yeah, Anderson Cooper.
Yeah.
Oops.
Turned 84 today, Robert Morris. Okay.
All right. Well, he's getting along. That's good, though.
He is. Yeah.
What else? Vince Gilligan. Speaking of Vince Gilligan,
he
finally tells everybody what happened to Huel on Breaking Bad. So I think this is fine to talk about now. And
right,
not
it's,
only
it's
that,
been...
you get to tell it. Because
shoot, and I don't have my speakerphone, so he's going to be live in studio.
Yeah, he's going to be live in studio, ladies and gentlemen. Joining us now, we have with us the creator of Breaking Bad and co-creator of Better Call Saul. His name is Vince Gilligan. He used to be on the X-Files. He has put out a book called Breaking Bad: The Official Book, where you, Mr. Gilligan, have finally confronted Huel's fate with certainty. And we'd really like to hear about it. So what's your take? What's going on?
Well, thanks for taking my call, Scott. Oh, this sounds horrible. Oh, I don't think I'm going to use this.
You're not in the studio at all, it turns out.
Apparently, I was calling from the moon. Apparently, I was on the moon calling from one of those satellite phones.
I'm glad to hear you sound much better now, sir. Thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks. It's great to be here. It's been at least 2 weeks since I've been on the show. Did you see my performance on Jeopardy?
No, sadly I missed it, but I heard you did well. You did okay.
I did okay. I was up against some guy who was the janitor on Scrubs, and here's a good one to say: Deborah Messing from Will and Grace.
Scrubs is the best Vince Gilligan word to say ever.
I lost. I was in the lead up until the very final, part of the, you know, the final Jeopardy.
Oh yeah,
part.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
sure.
And it was because I couldn't remember the father and daughter who had both won Oscars.
Oh, Oscars.
Oscars. I said. what was that woman for? She was with Jack Nicholson for a while. Uh-huh. Pritzi's Honor, yeah. That woman. Angelica, yeah. Houston. Yeah. I said Houston, yeah. John Houston and Angelica Houston. That was Coppola. I really screwed up.
All right.
Lost a lot of money for my charity.
Yeah. Well, tell me what happened to Huell.
So he's waiting morosely on that sofa. Sofa in Saul's office.
Yeah.
Looking like a lost puppy.
I believe it was a hotel. It was a hotel. I think he was in a hotel waiting.
He was in a hotel. That's right. He was hiding out. It's like a protection, well, not witness protection, but same kind of thing. No, it's likely that Agent Van Oster keeps in touch with DEA headquarters.
Yeah.
So when he learns that Gomez and Hanks have gone missing, he would have, in short order, told his superiors what they were up to. And then within a matter of hours, really, not that much in story time, he will be taken back to HQ. This is really written kind of weird. They'll question him, and they'll find out what he knows, which isn't much, and he'll be let out on the street. Right now, he's doing what Huell does best, whatever that is. He's out and about as a free man.
Okay, so he's not, all right, good. He's not incarcerated. He's not under a bed somewhere. He hasn't been killed. Huell is okay. That's the important thing.
That's right. Please stop throwing pizzas on top of Walter White's house. Yeah, there's a very nice lady who lives there, and she's really getting tired of having pizzas pulled off that house.
Well, Mr. Gilligan, I've really enjoyed having you on the show again, and thank you for being here. And I hope, best of luck in your future endeavors as a game show contestant.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm on my way. I've got a little flight planned. I'm going to be heading out to Mississippi here very shortly.
And scene, everyone. And scene. Excellent work. Daniel Craig in the news. yes. Here, check this out. When you see Star Wars The Force Awakens this winter, look for a stormtrooper that looks a little different. You won't be able to smell the martini on him, but perhaps instead of a blaster, he'll carry a Walter PPK.
isn't he a little broody for a stormtrooper?
Right. Simon Pegg talked to The Independent. Why is that moving? Let slip that James Bond himself, Daniel Craig, has a cameo in the film, addressing a rumor that he himself might be an anonymous stormtrooper in the movie. Peg told the paper, "I wasn't a stormtrooper. Daniel Craig, he was a stormtrooper." And then he immediately realized his offhand comment was going to go everywhere because of Star Wars, and he said, "I shouldn't have said that." So there you go. It turns out
that
Daniel
seems like
Craig
such a weird cameo.
Yeah, it is weird. I wonder how many, like, if you're just going to pull in Daniel Craig and put a helmet on him, and that's, we may never see his face. I don't know.
Right.
And if you're going to have Simon Pegg in there somehow as some other cameo, this makes me think there may be a lot of stormtroopers who are
celebrities.
Yeah.
Celebrity stormtrooper parade, yeah. Basically, kind of thing.
Yeah, like this is how they got to be in the thing that affect, because think about it, most of these actors were kids when the movie came out. So they're probably, oh yeah, dude, I'd totally do that and I'll do it for nothing. Like, I'll bet there are people lining up. So there's probably some additional names we haven't heard yet, but we do know, it's not really a spoiler, it's in the news, but we do know that Brienne of Tarth is that silvery-looking stormtrooper,
right,
that you
chrome
see
trooper
in the trailer. Chrome trooper, yeah. Mm-hmm. She's in that. So, and I assume it has a big role.
Daniel Craig thing reminds me of Judy Greer and the Planet of the Apes, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Mm. Oh, right, because you'd never know that was her.
Right, she basically did mocap for one of the apes.
For the sick and pregnant wife of...
I think so, yeah.
I forgot the name of the...
Of Frodo Ape.
Frodo Ape.
Frodo Ape.
I loved that movie. That was a great movie.
That was a good movie, yeah.
That sequel and the first one, both good. Except the first one, anytime the humans are on screen, dumb. Mm-hmm. Dumb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bad dialogue, dumb story. But the
Sorry, James Franco.
Yeah, yeah. Second one, though, much better in that department. Anyway, good deal. James Bond in Star Wars. You heard it here first. Tell your friends. We are sponsored today by Squarespace.com, a great place to go and make a new website. Make the web better. It starts with you, man. Well, not you, Brian, but others, you know. Well, you too.
You, man.
Go make a website right now at Squarespace.com and do it for free. They have a free trial that doesn't even require a credit card. You can get in there, try out these templates, see how good it looks on mobile. They call that responsive design, and that stuff's built right into many of their templates. They have tools so you can sell stuff, everything you need, really, to be as creative as you want to be in the modern era of web design. So please go there, Squarespace.com. If you decide to stay, check out with 10% off by using the code MORNING. That's morning at checkout for 10% off your order at squarespace.com. And we love them, so go check them out. Cool. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it's major spoilers. We're going to talk about a really weird Kickstarter. I'm very curious about this, so we'll talk about that when he comes back. And also, Veronica will be here a little later with some video game talk. Before all that, Brian brought music. What do you have?
I did. So, good morning. How are you, Brian and Scott? Writes Matt. We're fine. Thanks. Longtime listener, rare chat room attendee, Matt here. My birthday is coming up on the 18th of May, and I thought for a long time if I'd end up requesting something for it. I eventually caved and decided that I should. I'm not a big birthday song fan, but I love upbeat, fun songs. I'd love to hear Dr. Worm, originally by They Might Be Giants, covered by Reliant K. I work overnight shifts cleaning commercial airplanes, and it's a pretty abysmally boring job. I save up the Frog Pants mega feed every week from Monday until I go to work on Friday nights so that I have enough material to get me through the weekend. As a result, if my request makes it on air, I wouldn't even know what day it was. If you can't play that song, the small clip from Darius Rucker's most famous song will have to do. Or, you know, anything that is poppy and fun.
Damn it. When he says that, I have to scroll down and find
contraction.
It.
Contraction.
The Tender Ranch.
All right, there you go.
Excellent. Yeah. I will never get tired of hearing that. I will say that proudly. So Reliant K released a couple of EPs called K is for Karaoke. Reliant K is for Karaoke. Both of them came out in 2011. And on the first of the two, they included this great cover of They Might Be Giants, Dr. Worm. Here is Reliant K.
Dr. Worm, good morning, how are you? I'm Dr. Worm, I'm interested in things. I'm not a real doctor, but I am a real worm. I am an actual worm. I live like a worm. I like to play the drums. I think I'm getting good, but I can handle criticism. I'll show you. But I know, and you can tell me if you think I'm getting better on the drums. I'll leave the front unlocked, cause I can't hear the doorbell. When I get into it, I can't tell. Dr. Worm, good morning, how are you? I'm Dr. Worm, I'm interested in things. I'm not a real doctor, but I am a real worm. I am an actual worm. I live like a worm, and I like to play the drums. show you what I know, and you can tell.
This totally new concept in home entertainment will expand your enjoyment of television viewing to a level that was, a short time ago, nothing more than an ambitious dream. With the Betamax at your command, you'll never again be deprived of watching whatever program you desire at your convenience. You'll be free of the restrictions of time.
Shaky camera!
The morning stream. I'm a leaf on the wind. Watch how I soar.
All right, we're back. I love that cover so much. That whole album is just those two albums that I have.
They're great. Yeah,
it's amazing. Yeah,
they're good examples of a band putting their own style, like, you know, being true to their style, but also paying good service to the originals.
Yeah. That shaky cam clip, by the way, was Ice Worm freaking
out. Oh, that was Ice Worm. I thought that was Daryl.
Nope, that was him screwing around. Here's this. All right.
That was also Ice Worm?
I don't know who that was. Oh. I thought that was something else. Hold on.
I can't talk today.
Okay, it's not it either.
Swedish.
All right. All right, time to call. What are we doing? I'm calling Steven. That's who.
Right.
I'm not calling you. You're here.
No, I'm here. Don't call me.
Nope. You're already on. Look at your kitty cleaning. Oh,
clean the kitty. Kitty cleaning. It's a therapeutic thing to watch, isn't it?
It really is. Animals, they're doing it for me. I'll tell you. With us on the line is Stephen P. Schleicher III, all the way from Kansas City. Or no, not in Kansas City.
From Hayes, Kansas.
Hey, man, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, it's a nice day. It's a nice Monday. It's Monday, right?
Is it Monday?
That's always a great way to kick off the week, is on a Monday.
I guess it is Monday. Yeah, it's kind of our only choice, though, really. We'd have to shift things around. You know, they always say it's going to be impossible. Like, there's a lot of naysayers who think that it'll be impossible for the entire world to one day truly be united in some way.
Yeah.
And I say, we've already got a couple where we've all agreed. We got the same damn calendar. Everybody has a Tuesday. Everyone has a 4 o'clock in the morning. Everybody has these standards, right? Mm-hmm. So if we all agreed on that, why can't we agree on everything else? It's eventually. Look, as FDR once said, all roads. No, let's see. History is a rising road, he says. Meaning things will always get better, damn it. So quit being such a bunch of nillies and being so complainy.
Mm-hmm. Like nillies.
Like me most of the time.
There you go.
Okay, Steven. It's good to have you here. Oh, shit.
Oh, you're a winner.
That wasn't supposed to play. A random winner.
You get something. I
got something cool in the mail today. So.
What'd you get in the mail today? Tell us.
Oh, I'll show you, but I won't say it.
All right. I can't tell.
Oh,
is that an Intuos?
Not an Intuos.
Is that the Cintiq portable?
Yes, not the portable. It's only a 13.
Oh no, those are great. Very nice. Yeah. Cool. What's your plan with that? What are you going to do with
it? Because I'm doing a lot more of the After Effects work, I hate using the mouse when I'm drawing my masks and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to use it for more of that stuff.
No, that'll be huge. That'll be a big deal. One of these days, I need to sit beneath your tutelage feet and learn more about
After Effects. You can go pick up the book that I am a co-author on called The Adobe Classroom in a Book.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it still applicable to today's current versions of CC?
Oh, yeah. I've been writing. This is like the eighth or ninth version of the book that I've been a writer on.
Wow. That's very cool.
Yeah.
If you ever do a new one and you need a little cartoonist man in there, you let me know.
There is a chapter that needs to be updated to include the new character animator and the new puppet tool.
Puppet tool.
Maybe call on me. Yeah, I could call on you pretty easily.
They called me Puppet Tool when I was a porn actor. All right. So, Steven, it's really good to have you on. He's from MajorSpoilers.com, and we deal there in things of pop culture and other related activities. And I'm very curious about this. So this Archie thing kind of came and went, but Archie Comics launched a Kickstarter and then pretty quickly yanked it.
Yeah, it went up on Monday.
Yeah.
And the goal was to raise $350,000 so they could get their next couple of books, the next three books, Jughead, Betty and Veronica, and Life with Kevin, out to readers a lot faster than what they would do under their current, money structure that they have in place. They've got a big deal with the new Archie number one going out to, Walmart and Target, and that's kind of strapped their funds. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, we're going to get these books out eventually. We'd like to do it sooner than later, so let's start this Kickstarter and try to get people on board to see Chip Zdarsky's Jughead or Adam Hughes's Betty and Veronica, and hopefully we'll get that money. But then there was so much flack from people that by Friday they took it down.
Now, and said, when you say flack, what was describe the flack? What were people upset
why
about?
Why would Archie ever need to go to Kickstarter? They're a company that's been around for 75 years. Mm-hmm. How dare Archie try to get money out of people? And then, of course, there were a bunch of comic book retailers that were upset too, because depending on the funding level you go to, you get those physical copies instead of going to the comic book shop and buying it there. So it's kind of, some retailer saw it as a way of bypassing their brick and mortar store.
Yeah.
And so there was so much flack that by the end of the week, they decided to cancel the Kickstarter with John Goldwater essentially saying, hey, by this time, the discussion has moved away from us trying to get these great comics out to you guys sooner to why we're even going to a Kickstarter funding method. So they yanked it.
Yeah, that's... I got two things to say.
I got a lot of things to say about it, too.
I understand why people are freaking out a little bit. I understand the principles at play. Okay, I get that.
Yeah,
And I get the whole, also the juxtaposition of that old chestnut of the publishers and the physical locations having their big disagreements. And sometimes I think that just bogs everybody down, but whatever. I kind of understand that. What I don't understand is why anyone cares. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it.
That's my argument. Yes.
Remember when this happened with Zach Braff?
Same deal. But that's my point, if nobody supports it, then nobody supports it.
The Broken Lizard guys had no problem raising over $2 million to get their movie funded.
Yeah. Well, everyone sees them as, they don't have their Scrubs money or something. But you know what I mean? Like, it's to me, it's these people freaking out over Kickstarter is like people freaking out over somebody who eats a cheeseburger or not. Just don't eat the cheeseburger if you don't want it. And if you do want the cheeseburger, eat it. The market will dictate the outcome. There's no other way around that. So why get all in a huff? I guess the point of the huff is to convince others to follow suit.
I just thought it was kind of...
It does seem odd.
Yeah.
It was kind of a, first of all, I think Archie should have just said, you know what, we're sticking it out. And if we fail, we fail. And it just shows, and this is the nice thing about Kickstarter, is if your Kickstarter succeeds, it means, hey, people are into this. People are willing to support you for whatever reason. And it doesn't matter if you're a single individual or if you're a small company or a large company. If it fails, it also sends a signal saying, hey, maybe you need to rethink your message, your campaign, your product, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. Go back and work.
There's all kinds of market indicators. If it barely makes it, that means something. If it barely misses it, that also means something. If it hugely misses it, it means a lot. Sometimes if it barely misses, it means that you're glad it didn't fund the company, meaning because you needed more. You never want the minimum. You needed more. And the fact that it didn't fund, you're like, all right, good. Well, we at least look like we followed through and that we're back to the drawing board working out the best next way to do this. But had we funded, we actually would have been, you know, in the red because that wasn't enough money. You know what I mean? Like, there's all kinds of indicators. And it's truly become like a market barometer for whether or not somebody's interested in your product or not.
There seem to be a lot of people who are behind and supportive of the project. And a lot of people want to see this version of Jughead. They just didn't like the way that Archie Comics was approaching the Kickstarter. And I don't know why. And we had a really long discussion this past week on the Major Spoilers podcast about there's something that just doesn't feel right about it. And I don't understand that thinking as well. And honestly, I don't think, and this is where a lot of the controversy comes in, I don't think Kickstarter should just be for an independent person. I think it should be open to anybody who wants to try to do this. It becomes a very fine line and a very tricky line when you say, Scott Johnson, you can do a Kickstarter, but Brian, you've done Kickstarters way too many times. You can't go to Kickstarter anymore.
Right. You know, it's that made really money from those albums, Brian. You can't do that anymore. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And it's really weird. And another person that we've talked to before has said, well, if you're popular, you shouldn't be going to Kickstarter.
Yeah. Which is funky. I mean, a lot of game developers, like there's this new game from the guy who did Symphony of the Night, the Castlevania series, and is considered to be one of the most important Japanese game designers of all time. I forgot his name, but obviously so important I can't remember his name. But anyway, they went to Kickstarter and said straight up, we're not doing this because we need the money to make the game. We'll make the game. We're doing this to show the VCs that to gauge interest, so they'll see, oh, there is huge interest in this game, therefore we will up the amount we were going to back it with. And they were pretty honest about it.
Yeah.
Still people were pissed.
Well, I didn't see a lot of people complaining about Pebble.
No, and part of it depends on what day you get up in the morning, you know?
I guess it is.
Like, the internet just is so stupid sometimes. Like, yesterday I was complaining because there's this huge freak out, and I don't know how huge it is. It might be a very small vocal minority. But there are people who think that the new Mad Max movie, which we've all seen, has this huge feminist agenda.
It does, and George Miller has come out and said that.
It's not an agenda. It's just a movie with strong female. Yeah, it's strong female characters.
I like that a lot.
But it's strong female characters kicking ass. Yeah. Great. Yeah. I like those. But does it have to turn into a politically nightmarish hellscape the minute anybody mentions it? I hate it. I hate that. The internet, it sucks sometimes. It just freaking sucks. All right. I feel like the older I get, the more my arguments are, that's terrible. You damn it. You piece of, you know, I cannot formulate thoughts around it anymore.
No. I mean, it's totally understandable. I mean, George Miller came out and said, you know, once we realized the direction where the story was going, we made sure that we went out and we talked to certain people. We had them serve as consultants. I think wasn't it his wife is the editor on the movie?
Yeah.
And so he was very conscious of this. And I think it works well. In fact, I really like Mad Max, because Max kind of takes a backseat to Furiosa's leadership in the whole movie.
Yeah. But he always did this though.
Yeah.
In all the old movies too, it's important to note that Mad Max was always this kind of unwilling participant who got caught in the whirlwind. It always happens to him this way. To me, it felt very consistent. Let's say that he even approached it consciously and says, I want to make a movie that's about strong women leaders and female roles. I want to do that. It's the connotation of somebody applying the label of it has some feminist agenda means more than just it has strong female characters. What they're saying about the movie and George Miller is that he is somehow in cahoots, quote unquote cahoots, with a bunch of radicals. It isn't that way. That's not what that movie is.
I don't understand the conspiracy behind it. It's just like, you know, fair pay for everyone. Let's treat everyone equally and fairly. That's what it should be about.
Right. When they use the term agenda, it acts like there's this underlying thing that he's really trying to push aside from entertainment, aside from the movie.
Right.
And that's why I disagree with the word agenda in there, is that it's...
Very well said, Brian. That's exactly it. It implies that he's got ulterior motives, that making this movie was never about making the movie. It's about my secret little thing I want to do. That's bullshit. That's right. I said it. I swore on the air.
Oh yeah, and don't get the MRA to listen to this show.
Yeah, what I mean, look, somebody a very funny Twitter post the other day. Somebody said, so people are saying, what's the other movie? People are saying that Avengers 2: Age of Ultron is anti-feminist. People are saying that Mad Max: Fury Road is pro-feminist. He says, I get the feeling that the wrong people are watching the wrong movie. It's like switch, just flop over the other way and everyone's got the movie they want.
Just go to theater 6 instead of theater 5 and you'll be fine.
I love strong female characters. Why? I don't even like to have to say that. I just like just strong characters.
So do I.
These happen to be girls and they happen to have a great story arc, and Charlize Theron is kicking ass.
Oh, man. You know what? After seeing that movie, I walked out of that and I said two things. She needs to be cast for Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Or if they really, really, really wanted to put a spin on James Bond franchise, she would be the next Bond.
Yeah. Mm. She'd be great, right? Mm-hmm. She's so, I don't know how to explain this. She's ageless. She's 40 this year, and she doesn't look anywhere near that.
No, she looks great. She was great in that movie.
And Hollywood is usually so not very nice to actresses as they get older that you worry where she'll end up. But this just proved to me that how versatile she is. I already knew she was. But just how she could just command a scene. And there's real acting on display here. Like
she's, Oh, yeah.
Like I said earlier, there's no exposition in this movie that you can't fill in, which is what I loved about it. That world building's really neat, but she just filled every scene she was in. She was just amazing. Really, really good. Anyway, let's talk now. By the way, I do love your URLs for both these articles. One is Archie Comics launches a new Kickstarter. There's the next one. Archie Comics cancels Kickstarter.
Yeah. It was sad. I'm sorry to see that have canceled.
Now, I have not watched this yet. I don't know why. There were so many trailers this week that I just missed it. But the CW gives DC Legends of Tomorrow half a season, and a trailer was launched. Mm-hmm. What do you think of all this?
Oh, man, it's going to be great. Here's what's awesome about this is CW Television, or Warner Brothers Television, created the Justice League before Warner Brothers Motion Pictures created the Justice League.
Yeah.
Essentially, you have a team of heroes, the Atom, White Canary, Hawk Girl, and then you have two villains, Heatwave and Captain Cold, joining together with Rip Hunter, Time Traveler, to go and stop a Vandal Savage from destroying the future. Mm. And they're not a league. They're not a team. They are legends. Mm-hmm. And it just really, really looks good. And of course, there's all sorts of crossover potential between Green Arrow and The Flash. And for those of you watching The Flash this week, the series finale or the season finale, Hawk Girl shows up in this episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So wait. So I thought last week was the season finale.
Nope, this week is the season finale.
Is she wielding a mace? She wielding a mace and flying?
I don't know.
Stuff?
All I've heard was that they saw her on the set of the season finale, and then suddenly I saw a pop-up from her, the actress, saying that look for her tomorrow night on the CW The Flash.
Do you ever read the 80s graphic novel series? It was a
DC
short,
Legends?
No, it was Hawk World.
Oh, God, yes.
I really liked Hawk World. You know what I think?
I'm guessing that Steven didn't like it.
Well,
as
the
much,
comics.
Well,
response.
The problem was, and here's the problem: when you hit Crisis on Infinite Earth, and then you tried to fix it with Zero Hour, Hawkman and Hawk Girl's continuities got so skewed and so thrown out of whack that they have never been able to create a continuity that answers who is Hawkman, who is Carter Hall, throughout the entire DC universe, and it's just caused problem after problem after problem. And while Hawk World was interesting in that, hey, let's go to the place where all of these where all these characters come from and look at the battles that are going on there, it created yet another Carter Hall that was different from the Silver Age, the modern age, and the post Zero Hour Hawkmen.
This is all true.
It was really confusing.
This is all true. What I liked was the limited run painterly looking Hawk World.
The art was great. If I remember, wasn't that a Hubert art?
It may have been. It was beautiful. I loved it. I loved looking at it. And then I collected all those. And then the monthly came out.
Yeah.
And it was terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, awful. The art sucked. The stories were off. Like, they really dropped the ball on it. And so outside of all that continuity stuff, which are, those are valid issues, I just felt like the vibe and the tone and the world were really cool.
Yeah.
And I think they could have gone someplace with it. But for whatever reason, I just think really fondly about that book. I have that stored someplace. I should crack it open, see if it's actually good.
I've got them too, because I did like the limited series. And if they would have made this an Elseworlds book, I think it would have made it much better. Mm-hmm. But I don't think, I'm trying to think if Elseworlds had come out by 89.
No.
Because Gotham by Gaslight is considered the first Elseworlds book.
Oh, I liked Gotham by Gaslight. That was great.
That is a good book.
Steampunk Batman is badass, dude.
Yes.
I love it. I know it's a little gimmicky.
Yeah, that
but
came out in February of 89, so they could have made this an Elseworlds title.
Yeah.
And maybe in hindsight, maybe in retro retro continuity, they will go back and change that.
Their new MOBA game, Infinite Crisis, is pretty interesting. It's actually okay. I wouldn't put it on par with League or Dota or Heroes of the Storm, but it's interesting. And you start the whole tutorial with Gaslight Batman.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, they keep rolling characters out on that. It seems like once a month they've got new characters that they're putting into the game.
Yeah. They can really, actually, I think it has a real chance of having a decent fan base. I don't think it'll ever be, it's just too crowded right now in the upper tier of that game type, but it's a fun distraction. I played it for a bit. It's pretty good. And Gaslight Batman, come on.
It is good. And if you look online somewhere, I know we had it on the Major Spoiler site a long time ago. Somebody created action figures based on the whole Gotham by Gaslight with the whole Justice League. Mm-hmm. So like Aquaman is this guy wearing one of those, 1800s diver bell suits and everything. That's pretty cool.
Oh, by the way, side note before we go.
Okay.
Very excited about the. So I guess it's all part of this Secret Wars 2 stuff or whatever's happening.
Yeah.
But there's a version of the Avengers set in the Old West.
Oh really?
I can't wait, dude. Oh my gosh.
It depends on how they've got it all mashed up. I know that there's a series called, what is it, Ghost Riders?
Yeah.
And I forget what else is coming.
Well, what I've heard is this is a lot more akin to, like, what is it, 1786 or whatever the X-Men one was.
Okay.
You know,
there was 1602.
1602, that's what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
It's a bit more like that in terms of, like, the way they handle characters and stuff. So it's not just Captain America with a cowboy hat on. It's Steve Rogers. He's the sheriff. Okay? So that makes sense.
Yeah.
Tony Stark is the blacksmith of the town. And, you know, takes care of a lot of the sort of, you know, making sure horses are working right and have extra cool,
I'd rate that.
All that stuff. Like, they're going really hard onto the whole, if this was the Old West and these guys had to keep the town safe, how would they do it? That's very exciting to me. So I can't wait. And you've not heard, I don't know if we know when that's coming out or what the deal
is with that. I haven't heard anything about it yet. I know that there's still a bunch of the Secret Wars Battle World stuff going on right now. We're constantly getting the sneak peeks. Secret Wars is a weekly series right now, so people want to pick up on that and see what's going on as worlds come to an end. But the Marvel solicitation should come out by the end of the month for item shipping in August.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll probably find out more then.
Yeah, very exciting. More like this. These things we've spoken of, there's so much more of it at majorspoilers.com. I recommend people check it out. Is there anything else happening, Steven?
I would sure love more people to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Major Spoilers Video. Lots of cool things over there, including a new Lego unboxing, or you can check that out at majorspoilers.com. And that's about it for right now.
Lego unboxings. Brian, that sounds like that's right up your tube.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We did the whole, right before Avengers opened, we did the whole Helicarrier build.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Your camera placement was much better than mine. However, mine had a cat that wandered onto the table. Yeah.
When I built that, we had not had a cat. We now have a cat, so don't be surprised if a cat popped up in the future.
Oh, are you gonna George Lucas that thing and retroactively add cat footage?
I like it.
Maybe.
I like it. Steven, stay out of trouble. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks.
Bye. All right. There he goes.
Cool.
Off into the land of whatnot. Let's get Veronica all up in this mess.
Okay.
I don't see any reason why not. She's friendly and kind and destroyer
of
worlds.
She is. She's friendly and kind.
Yeah. She's always very nice. So we're going to try to make that happen. In fact, let's make that happen right freaking now. Oh, those dulcet tones could only mean one thing, and that's Veronica Belmont. Veronica Ann Belmont, Destroyer of Worlds, is here with us now. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello. I have the wrong camera plugged in. I'm working on that.
Oh, okay, look at this. We got camera because she got that hot new camera, and look at that view.
Oh, look at that.
Yay.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Ooh, comic long box in the background, I think.
Is it?
What?
I don't know.
Is that a comic book long box in the
bottom,
background?
So bottom, no, other side. Oh. Bottom what? Floor right down there, that white box. That? Yeah, what's in that?
Oh, that's a blue box. That's some crap.
Okay. Never mind.
There's just crap in there.
Hey, guys.
Back to the old camera. Two of my old webcams are in there.
We all know where the camera graveyard is. We know where Veronica keeps her crap now. So if you're
In a box.
Yeah. In a box, everybody. In a box.
That's where I keep my crap, too.
You never know.
Yeah. It's a rough world. You got to prepare.
Exactly.
V is here. She's always here on Mondays talking about the world of video games and what's going on as we hurtle ever closer to E3, which is really right around the corner.
Oh, my God. It is.
Oh, my God. That's right.
It's exciting. Are you going, by the way?
I don't know yet, actually. I don't know.
If you end up there.
Maybe.
If you end up there, we may have to talk about you being the Frog Pants representative at E3.
That would be fun.
Just someone I can call and go, hey, what'd you see today?
The official Frog Pants E3 correspondent?
Yeah, why not?
And Destroyer of Worlds, Veronica Belmont?
Is that still on my Wikipedia page? I haven't checked.
It's still up there, yeah.
I hope so. I hope it stays there forever.
I love it. It both calls into question the legitimacy of Wikipedia and makes it awesome at the same exact time. So it's great.
Precisely.
So V, what's on your mind? What's going on? What's happening?
You know, not a lot of crazy news this week, but we do have the recommended specs for Oculus's Rift. So that's interesting.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
It's pretty,
it's a little beefy, isn't it? It turns out. You have a nice
some machine. Aspects are a little bit on the beefy side, and we'll get into that. So the minimum recommendation so far, or rather the recommended specs for the full Rift experience, experience would be an NVIDIA GTX 970 or an AMD 290 equivalent or greater, Intel i5 4590 equivalent or greater, 8 gigabytes of or plus of RAM, compatible HDMI 1.3 video output, two USB 3.0 ports, and Windows 7 SP1 or newer.
So I am all set on every count on my current rig except for the USB 3 second and port, which is weird.
That is exactly the problem I think a lot of people are going to face, because it takes a lot of power to run, and I think that's where people are going to probably come up short. And then the NVIDIA, the GTX 970 is kind of expensive. I mean, that's around $350 going rate right now. So that's kind of like the most expensive piece probably if you need to upgrade. But yeah, what do you think about that? Do you think that's like a decent amount of specs, or do you think that's going overboard, or is that going to be achievable by most people, or is
I think, I think cutting edge, like early adopter folks are going to be fine. They're already interested in having rigs that are equivalent or better than that anyway, because that's just the kind of, you know, that's the PC gaming landscape they live in.
Hardcore gamers will see it as, okay, it's just something else that they have to do to kind of be on the front line.
Yeah, so. And chances are they'll probably already be there, at least to some degree. I mean, chances are between now and then I'll end up with another USB 3.0 port via either a system upgrade or some other reason. So I'm not too worried about that part of it. And that's an, at least for that market. But this is where I start to wonder about VR moving forward in terms of adoption, because you've got that early adoptership and you've got a lot of people who will go in early, but then you've got a big long tail of your average consumer, and how Oculus approaches them is going to be quite interesting. The Vive, we don't know yet what Valve's minimum specs are on that yet. That's probably forthcoming as that thing comes out this fall. I'm hoping it's, you know, in range with this. Maybe less would be nice. Who knows? But really, this seems like a fight in a way that Sony's Morpheus, it's theirs to lose. And they could really do something, because their minimum specs is their console. And that's it.
Right.
So now that may mean things in terms of fidelity down the road, where PCs just clobber it because they can, you know, they can scale with the, with better specs. But at least out of the gate, you've got a big base of, you know, 12 to 14 million install base already on that console. You've got a device that is tailored exactly to that hardware, so you're not going to have a bunch of incompatibility issues or my specs aren't good enough or whatever. Maybe out of the gate, they've got the best chance, because the adoption rate there may be, you know, despite the fact that people don't like accessories for consoles, typically, historically anyway, they might have a real chance to take it, you know?
Yeah, you know, I think you're really kind of hit the nail on the head there about Sony and the PlayStation, because like you said, they already, your minimum specs are met. You don't have to even think about it. But I wonder if the early adopters on the PC side are going to be more likely to be into the Oculus Rift and that kind of technology. I feel like they tend to be more the early adopter set, the PC gamers. So I don't know. Maybe that will be enough to overtake Sony in the end. Or maybe they're just going to be two different camps kind of blossoming at the same time and growing at equal rates.
Well, I hope so. That's the version I prefer, is there's, you know, innovation happening on both, a lot of crossover game experiences and things, and that would be really nice. But the one thing they're up against with Sony is they've got a industry that is notoriously notorious for screwing people over with weird accessories. So they come along and go, here's an external drive accessory in the 16-bit era that nobody bought. Or here's a, what was that Sega thing where you put it on the floor and dance around in it? I forgot what it was called. The React or whatever the hell it was. And then, you know, Sony, or even more recently, Sony's Move or the Kinect to some degree with 360. Those were things that you had to pay extra money for to bring into the ecosystem. And you never had a one-to-one install base ever without it having been packed in or whatever. And even the Xbox One's lost that because they took the Kinect out. So they don't even have that anymore there. So convincing a console buying public that they need a fantastic new headset is a harder sell than it is for a bunch of rabid PC fans who already know the crazy indie crap they're going to get and the weird hack jobs that are going to be fun to mess with. And like, it's just such a different market.
And that's another thing too. I think there's going to be a lot of small indie titles that are making use of the Rift that may not need these specs to be quite as high as they're listed at now. That's one of the things that some of the commenters were talking about on this particular Destructoid conversation. So yeah, that might be an option too. I mean, I think there's going to be a ton of of, you know, independent titles springing up around the Oculus Rift, and I think that will help grow its user base tremendously.
So what's your head? So where's your head on a VR? Do you want one? I assume you want one. You got to get
yeah,
one.
I've played with Rift a lot, and I love it, and I think it's really great. And as long as I don't puke after using it, I'm happy.
Well, that's all supposed to be better now, right? Did the have you used the later prototypes and found them to be better in that regard, or
yes, what? They are significantly better. Yeah. So that has made a big difference for me because I tend to get motion sick with that kind of stuff.
With 60% less puke.
Yeah, now with 60% less puke.
Yeah. I was talking to Will Smith about it, and he's convinced that they've fixed that like entirely, especially his Vive demo at GDC. He walked away from that thinking that this problem is solved. And
well, this is a thing that actually affects women more than men. Mm. It's a physiological response to that kind of motion. It's just different in women than it is in men, and that there's no real fixing that. So we'll see. I mean, it can get better, but it's not. My dog is having puppy dreams behind me very loudly.
Oh, puppy dreams. Speaking of which, I didn't know puppies lost their teeth, by the way. That was new to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
I was wrestling around with Rainer the other night, and she was just rolling and biting and chewing and having fun, and I'm wrestling with her, and all of a sudden she stops, looks at me like something weird has happened, and then out of her mouth pops a tooth. Yeah. And I was like,
did you put it under
a
dog bed? And
no, I didn't do that.
Replace it with a milk bone?
Nope. Took a photo with it and put it on Instagram. That's what I did.
Yeah, I had tons of pictures of Bodega's puppy teeth when they started falling out.
Oh, I missed that.
It's real cute. They just chew on something and just goes, they go like, bleh. Or sometimes they swallow them and they poop them out later.
Oh, that's good for you. Anyway, well, time will tell. E3 will certainly have a lot to say about VR, I think, this year more than ever. Especially with a PC dedicated event happening, which is kind of a big deal. So we will see how it all goes. And I think you're right, by the way, the women thing versus men with VR or with motion sickness generally. My wife and my two daughters totally get car sick. Nick and I never do.
I get car sick at the drop of a hat. So yeah. Who knows? But there's an interesting article I'll send it to you about that.
Yeah, you should. My one daughter really gets it bad, and she has to be in like front seat. She can't ever be in the back, and just makes her sick as a dog, and the rest of us are like, what are you guys talking about? So it's empirical evidence, but it does seem to be that way. But anyway, well, awesome. I can't wait to see what comes up at E3. Hopefully Veronica may be there. We'll see. I don't know. If you are, we'll report on the show. Yeah, you never know until we get there. Veronica and Belmont. Is Veronica on Twitter? And anything else you want to mention?
Hosting DTNS today, so that should be interesting. We'll see how that goes.
Oh,
Tom is not away.
He's still in Illinois, isn't he?
Yeah, so I'm going to be hosting along with Roger Chang and I think it's just me and Roger and maybe Jenny. Oh, so we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Cool. Do you know when he gets back? Is it before Wednesday?
I have no idea. Okay. I don't know.
Poor Scott's like, do I have to do more?
Yeah.
if you're not on the sheet for hosting, I think you're okay.
I should be fine. I should be fine. Excellent. Veronica, have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, guys.
Bye now. Oh, Brian. Damn it.
Dang it. I hung up on Brian.
Shit.
Hold on a second.
Hold on.
I didn't mean to do that.
Hold on.
Okay.
I don't know why I hung up on everybody.
There we go.
Sorry, that was me being stupid. You know, it's
why,
weird.
Why you do that? Why you do that, Scott?
Let me tell you what's weird. Your video, when it first comes over, is nice widescreen 1080p. Mm-hmm. But as soon as Skype figures itself out, it converts it to 4:3.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah, I don't know why. It's a Skype thing. It's only Skype that does that. And I don't know. You look fine. And that's how I have you portioned in the overlay on Twitch. But I don't know why it does that. Anyway.
Bogus.
Technical issues, everyone. Technical issues.
Bogus, man. It's bogus.
We got some emails, and we're going to tear through them real quick. They're brought to you by...
It's a world full of space aliens, the Illuminati, and uncomfortable tattoos on the Weekly Bleep podcast. Strap on your pyramid hat and listen at theweeklybleep.com.
All right. Quick message here that I just wanted to get out real quick. We got a tadpooler in a bit of trouble, and we like to mention it occasionally when someone needs people's... could use the community's help. Go check out this site. It's tiny.cc/saveourhome. You'll get the full details on kind of what went down for one of our listeners and their family, and I feel bad about what's going on with them. So please go check that out. Again, it's real easy to get to. That's tiny.cc/saveourhome. Read their story and decide if it's something you want to help them out with. Bryce wrote in. You mean O'Brien? No, you don't. Mm. I don't know him either.
I don't know. I don't think I know O'Brien. Maybe I do.
He says, hello. On a previous episode, you talked with Bill about the inaccuracy of serving sizes on nutritional labels. I just wanted to mention that here in South Korea, they have serving sizes just like the U.S., but they also show you how many calories are actually in the entire container. I find it way more informative and helpful to stop my binge eating. It is one thing to see a piece of bread that has 120 calories and not think much about much of it while eating it, but quite another to see, oh, if I continue eating this entire loaf, I am sitting at 12,000 calories. Sorry, I had a little lost my breath there for a minute. Maybe eating an entire loaf of my own is a problem, though. Yes, it is. He says, anyway, Anyang, though.
Anyang.
Oh, Anyang.
Anyang.
I should have figured that out.
You should have,
I have,
yes.
Korean siblings. I should know this.
Arrested Development fan you are.
Yeah, my brother, my Korean brother Matt told me this, too. He says that all the food in South Korea is labeled. All the food in North Korea is not there. That's a whole different problem. hello, spaghetti and bolognese.
Mm.
That's you.
Mm-hmm.
What is that, a sauce?
It is a sauce, yeah.
Okay. I don't think I've ever, had it? I don't think I've had
you
it.
You probably have. It's a meat sauce. I think it's orangey red with some cream and tomato and...
Sounds all right.
It's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not doing me wrong with
at least that's the way that the place over here, I can't even remember what, Abrushi's does it. It's like an orangey red meat sauce.
I like that orangey when you say it sounds like RNG, like...
RNG, right, yeah.
Like, number generator. That's pretty good, like a Blizzard game. Hello, Spaghetti and Bolognese. I recently listened to the Lag Vegas episode of TMS. He says, I know I'm totally behind. I blame work and education for cutting into my listening time. And you were right. You were caught off guard by Daryl with his magpie geese question. I wanted to let you know that I have run into the mean avian creatures when I was visiting Australia. I think he means run. They were patrolling a certain bridge and a wildlife preservation park as a pair, and were very keen on attacking our ankles if we dared try to pass them by. I don't know. Maybe they work for Mendoza overseas. Anyways, thought I'd share with you. Love the show, though. P.S. If you're reading this on the show, good luck with my name. Ta-ta. The name is Kensnia.
I would say Ksenia.
Ksenia. Kensnia. Yeah.
Like how... It sounded like you were talking backwards there.
K-S-E-N-I-A is how you spell it. I think there needs one more vowel in there. But anyway. Hello, Stewie and Brian.
Where's my money, Brian?
I actually tweeted this question to both of you with no avail. No worries. I know you guys get tons of tweets. Yeah, we miss some sometimes. Mm-hmm. We don't try to, but we do.
Yeah, I've been keeping Twitter off, except for like I'll turn it on a couple times a day, scroll through, see... if there's anything, but as far as like
I'm cutting
just
back
regular
too.
Tweets, yeah.
Yeah, I have to start cutting back. I apologize to those I miss, but I have to. Mm-hmm. It's dominating too much of my time. Anyway, I told a story a while ago involving his neighbors, or you did. No, wait.
Oh, no, this
Scott
is you.
Told,
this is your neighbors.
Yeah, I'm an idiot. Let me start that over. But anyway, Scott, pretend you didn't hear all this. Anyway, Scott told a story a while ago involving his neighbor's mentally disabled child. Let's see, who looked, or he put locked, he who looked,
yeah,
a little
locked.
Who
no,
looked
locked.
Locked, oh yeah, who locked, I'm losing it, I put this email in here because I read it, I'm an idiot, all right, who locked a little person salesman in the pantry thinking he was a box troll. Okay, you remember this whole story, and then we found out Snopes had a story just yes. like it, and we're like, yep. What the crap. Says there was some controversy over whether Scott's neighbor was pulling one over on him, since the story sounded remarkably Snopish. Just wondering if Scott ever found out there was any truth behind the story or not. I've been hanging on the edge of my seat for a resolution for ages now. LOL. Cheers, Steve Candry, who laughed out loud.
Mm-hmm. Yes, what have you found out? What
I
do you
found
know?
Out, so immediately I said, somebody asked the woman who said the first story so we can get the scoop on this. And apparently that person won't talk to anyone about it now. They won't say anything. Yeah.
Like, just totally busted like.
Yep, they just went blank, like to the point that somebody asked them point blank and they ignored them, wouldn't say anything back. It's a bit like, I don't know, what's wow. it like? It's like some pleading the fifth, but without saying anything.
Wow.
They're like the guilty remnant, dude.
Yeah, totally, yeah. I mean, at least come forward and just say, Yeah, I guess I heard about that from a friend, and I just thought we'd, you know, make it sound like it happened to us. And turns out they read it on Snopes and blah, blah, blah. It
turns out when you really invest, I've had this happen to me a couple of times. Some people I know pretty well who have invested so heavily in a lie that they either, A, think that it's actually true at some
point. Start believing it themselves,
Or they push so hard to make sure you never question it that they cover it in like a stack of other lies.
Wow.
Either of those things are very bothersome to me. I don't
like
that.
Yeah, it totally is. I mean, geez, just come clean.
And no, chat room, I'm not going to tell you who that person is, but I know someone who does this all the frickin' time. Mm. And it drives me. It's not Brian.
And it's not somebody on this show.
No.
Okay,
good. Yeah, I'm not like, hey, look at me dancing around this issue.
I saw Mad Max and I loved it. Especially the thing with the dirt in the car. It was really good.
Maybe we're talking about Daryl. I don't know. Could be.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Yeah.
Amazing. I'm a giant puss. Okay.
Great. Agreed.
Yeah, that was you the other day.
Did I just say that?
Yeah.
I just agreed that you're a giant puss.
Wasn't that great? Let's play it again. Amazing. I'm a giant puss.
Agreed.
I love that you weren't really agreeing to that, but it sure sounded like it.
It certainly does. What was the context? The context of that?
I don't remember. You had agreed to something else I said before.
Amazing. I'm a giant puss.
Did you hear the I know part? Yeah, that's you agreeing. And then I think I talked over you and you probably didn't hear me say I was a giant puss. And then you agreed to a thing that you didn't hear me say. I think that's what happened. Anyway, what are you going to do? Thank you for that email. And yeah, that's the story. They won't talk about it now. And I wish they would just own up to it, fess up to it, but they're not. That's it. Thank you for your emails. And we'll have some calls tomorrow. Those keep coming to us at 801-471-0462. You can email us themorningstream@gmail.com. As always, the website is frogpants.com/TMS. You can support us at patreon.com/TMS.
And there's great things coming for patrons.
Yeah.
I just want to say that right now. I'm going to tease it right now. It might even have something to do with something I'm holding in my hand right here in my little hand. So
I see what you have in your little hand there.
Yes.
Brian, put your penis away. We're not quite done with it.
Okay, I'm putting it away.
It's definitely going to be cool. Tomorrow we will have big details on the extras that are coming. Okay? So stand by. Stay tuned. And we'll talk more tomorrow. Tomorrow, speaking of which, should be a Justin and Bill day. So we'll have those two chuckleheads on. There's a new boop show today. I have a doctor's appointment at 1, so I'm not sure when that'll happen. Probably later. I think that's it. Is that it? That's it. Did I tell everything? I think I did. On Twitter, Morning Stream, Scott Johnson and Coverville. Brian, let's do a little Coverville and play a song that's probably a cover.
We will play a song that's a cover. And it's going out to Patrick. Says, hi, Scott and Brian. Mm. On May 18th, I will be 32. I have listened to you guys for years. I started listening to The Instance, then moved on to the rest of the Frog Pants Network. I've always struggled with motivation and fear. I always want to do something, and I keep putting it off. You guys have really inspired me to start my own podcast, get my voice out there, and stop just talking about what I'm going to do and actually do it. Love the show, though, and thanks.
Nice.
And he included something that he said I didn't want to include in the request because I don't want it to be a shameless plug. I'm going to include it because it's something worth checking out. He does a podcast with his brothers called brothersgeek.com. So go check that out if you want to hear what Patrick writes. All right. It is his request, Teenage Dirtbag by Scala and Kolokny Brothers, or any choir cover, or a Darius Rucker's Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch.
Oh, man, that means I gotta go find it again. Hold on, here it is. Hang on, everybody.
The Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch.
All right, there you go.
Cool. All right, so this is one of the great choir bands, and I'm not going to play the song he requested, but I'm going to play the artist he requested. Scala and Kolokny Brothers, I mean, probably people know them best. If they haven't heard them on this show before, and we've played them a lot, and I think we've even played that Teenage Dirtbag cover before. The song that people probably know best by them is the Creep cover that they did for the Social Network trailer.
Oh, right. I love that. Oh, man.
Yeah. It was so, so good.
Yeah.
So here is another song from actually a different album of theirs, 2012's It All Led to This. It is Skull and Kolochny Brothers. This is beautiful and it's so uplifting, and it's a good way to congratulate Patrick on just doing it. Instead of talking about it, just do it. It is a cover of Coldplay's Yellow. Here is Skull and Kolochny Brothers.
All right, here it is. They were all yellow, and we'll be back tomorrow or we'll be all yellow again. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you then. Frogpants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Can't talk today.